I want to welcome you this morning to Destiny City Church Sunday Celebration Church Service, where we believe in making life what it can be. It is possible that your life can be great in Jesus. Can somebody say amen? So we believe at Destiny City Church that you can make your life what it can be, because our God wants to make your life what it can be. That is his purpose and that is his plan. Amen? We've been doing a series, a kingdom living series. And it's been going on for a few weeks and we've seen an awesome move of God. Because what we have began to realize at Destiny City Church is that we can't just live a Christian life. When Jesus came, he didn't live a Christian life. He lived a kingdom life. He came to speak about the kingdom. And within the kingdom, there are some principles. And it seems like it's these principles that we don't seek after in the Word of God. We want to get saved. We want to live the Christian life. And we want to be good. So, and that's the way that we've focused our Christian life on, just being good, just being Christians, just being seen to be proper, instead of living a kingdom life. I remember one of the first prayers that I ever learned in school was Matthew 6, the Our Father prayer. And in the midst of that Our Father prayer, verse 10, it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And I remember reciting that prayer, and that's all it meant. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. I didn't know what the kingdom was. So I'm saying these words, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth, and have no clue what his kingdom is that's coming. So they just became words. And no doubt that's happened in most people's lives. Your kingdom coming is just what we say. We're not seeking out why that verse is actually in there. So when we're speaking to God and we're saying your kingdom come, we just leave it at that. Saying that God is just going to bring down his kingdom and there's nothing that we can do because he's going to do all things. But Jesus came in order to tell us about the kingdom of God. In fact, when Jesus started his ministry in Matthew chapter 4, the first thing he said is, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." So straight away, Jesus mentioned about the kingdom right at the beginning of his ministry. So why don't we mention the kingdom right at the beginning of our ministry? So by reading that scripture, we should be seeking after whatever these kingdom principles are. The mere fact that Jesus spoke about the kingdom, we're not seeking to find out, well, what is this kingdom? But at Destiny City Church now, what we have been doing is we have been provoking you into seeking out what the kingdom of God is for your life and for our ministry. How we live together by kingdom principles. There are kingdom principles that we seem to have lost. We went away for a prayer retreat. If you didn't come, you missed a great time. And within that retreat, we have been talking about kingdom principles. And there were some things that we, you know, that I learned that really, really are kingdom principles that is, I'm going to use this word, hidden in plain sight. Right? It's actually there, but we skip over it because our mind is not set. We're not kingdom-minded. And that's what I want to talk to today about, kingdom-mindedness. I want to talk about our thoughts, because it's our thoughts that actually affect us in the kingdom of God. We're asked to repent. Therefore, we're asked to change the way that we think, change our lives around. And that's the thing that's the hardest for us. But that was the first requirement, is to repent. Turn it around. Repent what's in there. Turn it around. You see, God knows that we've got some sick feelings and we've got some sick thoughts. And it's not, when I say sick, I'm not saying they're evil and all the way that the world sees sick. I'm telling you, some of the things that we think are quite twisted, because that's what the world has fed into us. I remember learning, I'm going to steal this from Pastor Dr. Robert. Within the prayer retreat, which you all should have been there, by the way, We learnt about a Babylonian system, and it was such a revelation to me about that's the system that we live in right now. And that system actually tells us how to think, and we bought into it, right? And if you had come to retreat, you would find out how we bought into it. But I believe that Dr. Robert's going to preach that to you, so be here every single week because it will be coming, right? But there are a set of principles in that system, and that's this system today, and we live by it. And we believe that that is right because everybody is doing it. Everybody thinks the same. But when God brought the kingdom of God, he took out a remnant of people, which are you and I, and said, I want you to think differently. I'm going to expose that kingdom. I'm going to bring the darkness into light so that you can see you actually think wrong. Can somebody say amen? You do think wrong. We do think wrong. One of the challenges for me when to put this message together was within the week, I had a thought, and that thought couldn't be far from wrong. I was so convicted. I was talking in the kitchen with a few girls about it. Not going to tell you what it was, right? And I was talking in the kitchen at the retreat to a few girls about the thought that I had. And it was such a negative thought, but it came out of my mouth. The thought about someone came out of my mouth. But God threw egg and fried it on my face because the very thing that I spoke out of my mouth didn't happen. It happened the opposite way around. But what God was trying to show me was my thoughts, because he knew I was going to be standing up here talking to you. So he needed to deal with my thoughts first. I ain't arrived, but I'm getting there. Amen? So as much as we are learning about this kingdom series, it's beginning to do something within me. It's beginning to let me recognize quickly and realize quickly that my thoughts are wrong. And that's where that's what we should be getting to, is recognizing we think wrong, right? I thought so wrong. It was such a wrong thing to say. And what makes it worse is I didn't just think it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means it was really there. Yeah? And when you think something, it goes to your heart. And eventually, it will come out of your mouth. God expects us to have the mind of Christ. Yeah? Philippians 2, 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. Jesus had a kingdom mind. He was a kingdom-minded person. He came on the earth to show us how to live a kingdom-minded life. He came on the earth to show us how to think. He not only told us how to think, he also showed us how we do think. So he's saying, you think like this, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, and I think like this. Your way of thinking is not successful, my way of thinking is successful. You see my way of thinking as weak, I see your way of thinking as weak. So he says, but my way will catapult you into the future. So in order for that to happen, I need you to renew your mind. That is a kingdom principle. A kingdom principle is renewing your mind. It is setting yourself consciously to renew this. And then you will be challenged in that area, because when you say, God, I want to renew my mind, he's going to put you in a situation that you don't normally renew your mind. He will put you in that situation to see whether or not you will renew your mind. So don't be alarmed when it comes. Now, what will happen when that situation comes to you and God wants you to renew your mind and your thoughts about it? Because many of our thoughts start when we were young. As I said, we bought into the system when we were young. It comes from your parents. It comes from your family. It comes from your environment. It comes from your school. It comes from your peers. It comes from your friends. In fact, it comes from everywhere. And the biggest place it comes for today is the media. And social media, young people. Yeah? Social media tells you how to think. And that's what happened. So we've got social media dominating your mind, and then we've got church telling you something else. We're not preaching kingdom principles enough. So I believe that this is going to be a series where God is really going to challenge a lot of us to get into our word. We can We can only do so much up here to encourage you to get into your word and find out what kingdom-minded is. We will never affect the world until the thoughts change, because it's in your thoughts that everything starts. Amen? The book of Matthew also deals with what we ought to be doing and what we ought to not be doing. Yeah? There are some headings in Matthew chapter 5 that says, don't murder in your heart, don't commit adultery in your heart, and don't judge. All those three things are thoughts. Yeah? When you're thinking evil about someone, what we don't realize is that you're murdering them in your heart. No matter if you think they deserve it or not, the Bible tells us the kingdom way is not to murder them in our hearts. Bless those who persecute you. Adultery is in our hearts. It's saying, don't commit adultery. You know God hates adultery. Adultery and idolatry are cousins, first cousins. Because when you have adultery in your heart, you are seeking after somebody else or something else. So the thoughts of adultery, that's what it says, don't have adultery in your heart. Because eventually what will happen, you will move from God to the world. You will move from God to money, the big king, yeah, the big God. Tells us do not judge. The church is known for judgment. But we're meant to judge. We're meant to judge the condition of the world. That if we're kingdom-minded, right, we would judge the condition of the world because we would want to put it right. Sometimes you judge in order to put things right. But what's happened to us as believers is we've fallen into the trap that when people say the church is always judging, we start to feel bad. Oh yeah, that's true, the church is always judging. We actually start to feel bad. You know why? Because they've conditioned us to think bad. We've been conditioned to think that way. So as soon as somebody said that we're judging them, instead of saying, well, yeah, I'm judging your actions, we don't. We give in to it. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry for judging. I didn't mean to judge you. Sometimes you do mean to judge them because you're supposed to judge them. If someone's doing something wrong, you judge the situation. Right? The only way they're going to come out of the situation or of the kingdom of darkness is when you bring some light into their lives. Right? Because their thought pattern is messed up. It's worldly minded. So when we come into the kingdom of God, we've got to do away with the worldly mindedness. Because when you have worldly mindedness, you think like the world. You can't correct them. You can't even bring them in church. When we live a life through our thoughts, we're telling people, it's my way. You know, our thoughts will betray us. Do you know your thoughts betray you? I'll show you how your thoughts betray you, why we need to change it. If somebody upsets you, the first thing we do is, I don't know about you, I'm going to tell you what I do, right? Is I rehearse in my head when I see you. I've got this rehearsal going on in my head. Thoughts. You see, when I see that person, and I'm going to tell them this and tell them that. It's there. It's there. It's conceived. It's going on in my head. That's what I'm going to tell you. And then it will come to the point where I see you. And I didn't say what I rehearsed in my head. Because I know there's going to be a consequence if I tell you what I reverse in the head. But what we don't realize is that thought don't actually go. It's your reality. That thought is actually what you really do think. The only reason why you didn't say it to that person was simply because you knew there would be a consequence for it. So your thoughts actually did not change. You did not renew your mind. You just thought about the consequence of what will happen if you do this. If you're kingdom-minded now, you wouldn't think about the consequence. You would think of ways how to say it properly, how to say it in a way that it can convict that person. And if you say it out of love, it will convict them and there doesn't need to be a consequence. Sometimes we will type it on a text and then erase it. Or we will type it on an email. You're typing now your thoughts, yeah? The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth writes. Yeah? The hands write, I should say, yeah? It's still the same principle. You're still doing exactly the same thing. So we really got to realize. Jesus said in Matthew 6, Can you put up Matthew 6, verse 31 to 32? Could you put the King James version up, please? I'd like the King James. Yes. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Should we be clothed? The Bible tells us take no thought. Jesus was addressing the thought, because those are the things it says that the Gentiles go after. We think about all these things when we're getting dressed in the morning, and they begin to dominate our thoughts. Now, when we start to think those things become judgments in our heads. For instance, take no thought in what you ought to eat. Then you'll become a vegetarian and a vegan in your thoughts, and then you expect everybody else to do it. It's your thought. So because your thought, I want to live a healthy life, I'm going to be a vegan, and then you see me sitting down stuffing fish and chips, and you judge it because your thoughts are saying, I'm going to live a healthy life. So we're worried about what we should eat now. We worry about what we should wear. You see what sister come in with church on Sunday? We concern ourselves with those things because you cared so much about what you were wearing this morning, and you expected her to think the same way as you, or him to think the same way as you. So we start, it's all in the thoughts. Kingdom-minded thoughts now would say, no matter what she's got on, she's in church. No matter what he's got on, he's in church. Maybe it's something in their lives. When Jesus went to the woman at the Samaritan, at the well, right, and he spoke to her about she had many husbands and the one that she's living with ain't her husband, he didn't think about, he wasn't going to condemn her about her five husbands. He bought that, he had struck up a relationship with her first of all, right, because he needed to deal with her thoughts. He was dealing with, what, in order to have these five husbands, what was going on in her thoughts? Was she searching for something? So he decided, I'm not going to actually address, I'm going to mention to her that these five husbands, because she knows that, you know, I got foresight. I can see what was going on in her life. I got insight into her life. So I'm going to make mention it. That will get her attention, right? But he didn't focus on it in the same way he didn't with Mary Magdalene, because you've got to think about how other people think, and you've got to be able to help them to be kingdom-minded, especially those in the body of Christ. Can somebody say amen? The Amplified Bible reads like this. Therefore, do not worry or be anxious, which is perpetually uneasy and distracted. We can be distracted by others. Yeah? You get distracted first and foremost in your mind. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. For the pagans, the Gentiles, eagerly seek after these things. The pagans seek after these things. Today we know the pagans are, as I said, your Babylonian system. They come from there. It comes from the system that wants you to think like they think. And these are the things that they think about. But the kingdom minders don't want us to focus on these things. We need to be focusing on the things about people that Jesus focused on. We will never bring people into the kingdom if we keep bringing the kingdom of the world into the church and operating like that. It isn't the leader's responsibility to tell you how to think. You've got to read in the word for the word to tell you how to think and change your life. We want a church of believers that are kingdom minded, that will practice kingdom principles, take kingdom principles out there. The kingdom of God did not just come out to sit here and look pretty. It came here so that you can grab a hold of the revelation of it, take it outside and change somebody else's life. You can do that by changing your own. People look to believers today to see how we think. They concern themselves with how you think. They need to see your Jesus. They need to see the kingdom of God through how you live. And if you live and you think wrong, they're going to say, what is the point in me coming out from the kingdom of darkness where we think like that to come in the church and they think exactly the same? My conscience can be clear when I'm out there. I don't know any different. So my conscience is clear out there when I think worldly minded. But when you come into the church, your heart is challenged. Your mind is challenged. If you allow the Holy Spirit, he will start to make the changes. When people come into church, they are looking for change, and they are looking to you and I. Amen? People, whether we believe it or not, they don't want to live wrong. they don't want to think wrong. If we're real, we don't want to think wrong, but we do. When we're little and we're told certain things, yeah? Let me go there with a scenario. You're going to turn out to be nothing. You see you? You're ugly. And then we all these things become thoughts and they get cultivated in our lives and we become exactly what it is. But we're not happy with it. So we will go on and we will tell others the same thing. Oh, no, look, you're ugly, you're this. And whatever else comes out when we're growing up. And we come into the church where our mind's supposed to be changed. We're supposed to be healing people and bringing them into the kingdom of God and showing them there's a different way. But they come in and they see the same thing as they see outside there. Because, brothers and sisters, when we are upset with each other, that's what we do. And we go in the church and instead of freeing that person, we find somebody in here that will agree with us, that has the same thought pattern as we do. Huh? So instead of the kingdom coming within the body of Christ, the kingdom, the worldly system is in here because we're operating exactly how they're operating there. The Bible says, renew this. Renew how you think about things. Renew how you forgive someone. Renew how to let things go. Renew how to walk in Christ. Renew how to find him. Renew how to cultivate your relationship with God. Renew your mind. When we're being challenged about it, look, your life is, your thoughts especially, are being challenged by the world. Everybody is competing for your thoughts. Compete. The devil is competing for your mind every single day. And we know what strategy he used because he used it on Jesus. He will use the king of all kings in this world, money. Money. Yeah? He would use that small king of all kings, and it's a small K when I say it. Yeah? Because it's a small G, God, and he will use that on us. Yeah? He's competing for your mind in everything. He's competing your mind against somebody else to be elevated. And we do it in church. I heard it mentioned in the week. We do it. We've now, in our minds, scaled what is the better ministry. Oh, no, I want to be in the worship team. The ushering team is below me. It's up there. What in your thoughts tell you that? God gives everyone talents. We've all got talents and we've all got gifts. And it all comes together to operate in the kingdom of God. So God says, I'm going to call out a people. I'm going to give each one of them different gifts. And I expect them to use it together to glorify my name and to widen my church. And then the body that he calls out, within the futility of our mind and concerned with how the world thinks, we come into church and we scale what God has blessed. I don't want to be an usher. I don't want to work in the children's because every week I'm out of church. So we don't want to go and work with the children. The future. The future. Because guess what? It's there. You're thinking I'm missing something when I'm out here. But we have podcasts. We have podcasts. You can hear it. You can go and hear it. You don't miss something. When you invest in their lives, right? You got the future. When you invest in their lives, huh? Difficult now to get people to work with the children. But when you invest in their lives, we're supposed to leave a legacy. Jesus left a legacy of the kingdom of God. We want the kingdom to go to our next generation because they're out there in darkness. But our thought patterns are betraying us. Our thought patterns is betraying us. The Bible says, 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. It says to cast it down and then it tells you what to do with it. Most times we're praying and we have a thought and we use the words, I'm going to cast that down, I'm going to cast that down. But we don't replace it with anything. It says to replace it with something. You've got to continue speaking kingdom-minded. In order for something to change, you've got to keep saying it until you believe it. And when you start believing it, it's going to be your thought pattern. It's going to be how you think. Yeah? Bring those thoughts into captivity. Bring them into Christ Jesus. It says bring it somewhere. Often we don't. We bring it to the person whose imagination is the same. Imagination is a good thing, because the only time that the Bible used imagination in Genesis is when God was imagining man. Imagination first starts with what you think. You conjure it up in your mind. Yeah, you begin when you're being creative and you want to buy and make a picture, or you want to see life or landscape or something. It starts in your mind. When people are going to create things, it starts up there, and it could be a beautiful thing. Or it can be a destructive thing, yeah? But it starts in your thoughts, right? God says that in my image I made man. So image is a beautiful thing. I believe that God thought about man first because he saw Jesus. And he says, you know what? I'm going to make them look like that. That's how I'm going to make them look. So I'm thinking about what I want them to be like. I want them to be like me because I want them to be powerful. I want them to dominate the earth. I want them not to fear. I want them not to have anxieties. There's a few ways our thoughts can betray us or be influenced. The first one is lust. Lust is such a strong thing, it will make you do all things because it will stay in your thoughts. Lust don't want to go. When lust attaches itself to you, it refuses to go. It's a principality. It refuses to go. It won't leave you. It will hang on to you until you resist it. It will hang on to you. David was on his roof, and he just come back from war. He's on his roof now, he's walking. Idle hands make the devil work, yeah? And David's on his roof, and he's wondering, I don't know what to do with himself. He just won a few wars. Yeah. And David stopped, and he's probably pondering life, etc. David was a man after God's heart. And then David, he sees a woman out there. She barfing. So David looking down his roof. David probably walked away again. This is my little show. David probably walked away again. And then David thoughts start to go round and round and round and round and round. Listen, when you contemplate or play with something in your thoughts, you begin to fantasize about that object, right? So David, when he first saw it, was probably, she looked nice. And then David look again. So his thoughts started to create fantasies right now. And then David said, it didn't just stop there. David now got to do something about it. Oh my God, my thoughts are there. But these thoughts are real. They're betraying me right now. Your thoughts will become your reality. Your thoughts will become your reality. And so David, that's real now. And boy, I need them. She looked good. She looked good. And David's mind is going over and over. Now David starts to conjure up a few plans now. Boy, I got to have her. And then David find out now. She got a husband. Oh, no, man. And then the worldly system come in. So what? In this world right now, you can have two people. You can have two girlfriends. You can have two man guys. Don't matter now. If the other one don't know, you know. And David said, I have to make sure that her husband get out the way. So boy, I have to devise a plan now because I want her. My thoughts are now going round and round and round. I've given way to fantasies right now. My mind is, oh God. And now it's provoking him day and night, night and day, day and night, night and day, day and night. And David said, I have to conjure up this plan. How do I get rid of her husband? She got a husband, but I have to get him out the way. And the result of that is he had her husband killed. But guess what? It started in a thought. Yeah? Your thoughts can kill somebody. Yeah? Your thoughts can kill someone. So you need to bring it in subjection to God. What you think about somebody can kill them. And the first place that it kills them is in your own heart. You have already murdered them in your heart. And then afterwards, when you start to cultivate it, you'll murder them in other people's hearts. And then you will seek to really murder them. And that's what happened with David. But the Bible still called him a man after God's own heart. Because guess what? He had a repentant heart. And that's what some of us need to do. And I believe that's God speaking to people today is whatever you got in your heart for somebody, it needs to die today. Get kingdom minded. Get with Jesus. Find out what he thinks. We always say, what would Jesus do? And half the time we say it and we don't do it. Yeah? He'll do it. He's perfect. Right? But the Spirit of the living God, the same one that lived in Jesus, the same one that raised him, lives in you and I. So therefore it's possible. We don't want to hear anyone say, but I can't. Yes, you can. Take that in your thought today. Yes, you can. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and 28, right? And this was just even coming back to what David done. I tell you, Jesus took it to another extreme, didn't he? I just said that David was looking and he was contemplating that. But at least he looked and he contemplated. Jesus said it. Even if you look on another woman and want her, you're already. Even if you don't do anything about it like David did, you're still unfaithful in your heart. David took it to the extreme, but Jesus took it another way. And he says, you're already unfaithful in your thoughts. It's already there. Yeah? So you don't even have to do what David done and went to the extreme of going to get her husband killed. The minute you think it, you're unfaithful in your thoughts. Yeah? So Jesus came and made it just that little bit harder. And the reason why he made that little bit harder, because he knows you can do it with his help. He knows that you can do it with his help. Bible says, keep your thoughts set on things above. Colossians 3, 1 to 2. Where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. See, there is an answer to our thoughts. It's keeping them on Christ. If I keep my mind set on you, you will keep me in perfect peace. Keep your mind set on him. Because when your mind is tormented, just like David there, you've got no peace. Right? Your mind can't sleep at night. And I reckon that's what happened to David. He was all night he's thinking about it, and he conjured up a plan, and then he called his man in, and they've got to do something about this. Keep your mind set on Jesus. Keep it set on Jesus. He will help you through it. 1 Corinthians 6 and 8 says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. Keep that in your thoughts when you're thinking of doing wrong, especially when it's something to do with fornication and that. Keep your mind set on Jesus. And the Bible says that if you be tempted, he will find a way to help you out of it. He's already got a way in which you can come out of it. Right? Seek him and he will help you. We ain't here to judge you. Seek him and he will help you. Sorry, that was Isaiah 26 and 3 for keep. He'll keep you in perfect peace, whose mind, whose thoughts is stayed on you. It says stayed on you or stilled on you. That means it stays there all the time. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. We're in it together. We're in this love together. I can't remember the words there. But we're in this thing together. But God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Excuse me a minute. Hallelujah. And will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Jesus wants us to have a heavenly mindset. And the only way to have this is keep your mind stayed on Jesus. I got no other remedy. I can't come up there and give you magic potion to make that happen. I can only say to you, keep your mind stayed on Jesus. Your thoughts will change. Philippians 4 and 8 says, meditate on good things. Meditate on good things. When you think bad about somebody or your thoughts are going somewhere, meditate on good things. It's so easy to meditate on bad things. We have to train our minds now to meditate on good things. I remember on a Tuesday we were doing, we do have a core group here. And I remember God talking to me about assumptions that I make them. It was convicting me that I make assumptions. And the reality of the assumptions that I made, because assumptions is in your thoughts. And so God was challenging me and showing me places that I make assumptions about people in the church. And I began to realize that it limited my ability to relate to them or to help them be all that they can be. Because my assumptions about people was that they can't do this, they can't do that. Then it went a little further. I thought they can't do it. Then they don't want to do it. So I took it off me now, and I'm now placing it on them, and I'm saying, well, yeah, I think it, but they don't want to do it anyway. That's an assumption. It's a thought. I saw something that will probably happen for 1 week and made an assumption about it. But guess what? The assumption must have continued for about 6 months and maybe a year, right? Because it's already in my thoughts. If I'm kingdom-minded, that person is in church, they're in a ministry, God wants them to rise, he does the exalting, not me. I had to come to the point that you ain't the promoter, girl. You ain't the one that promotes. You ain't the one that lifts up. So don't even think that little bitty piece of help that you're going to give them is going to exalt them, because that's my job. I do the increase, not you. God had to speak that to me. I'm doing the increase. You just do what you do. Plant the seed, water, and I will increase it. Yeah? Stop thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. Because I did. Number two, fear. Job 4, 12 to 14. Job says, he was talking about disquieting thoughts that kept him awake all night. And then he said, a secret word was brought to him and he received it through whisperers. Be careful who whispers in your ears in secret. Because guess what? They trouble your thoughts, right? When somebody comes to you, just like they did with Job, right? It caused Job to think a certain way which he probably wouldn't have thought of before. He began to think all these. He couldn't even sleep because some whisperer whispered in his ears, right? The Bible don't tell us it was the enemy that whispered. It was somebody. It was a human being that whispered in the ears, and it troubled him, and it got to the point where he troubled his thoughts. Be careful who whispers in your ears. If you have a problem, take it to Jesus. If you have a problem, take it to somebody that you know has overcome it, not somebody that's going through it. Sometimes we want to take it to somebody that's going through it, but their thought pattern is the same as yours. So they can't help you because they haven't brought their captive thoughts into the obedience of Christ. It's not there yet. So don't go to them. You go to somebody. You know me, no sister, my brother, something. He's been through it and he's come through it and he's doing all right. I'm going to go to him because I need my mind focused and I need it set on Jesus and I need to do the right thing. So I need to go to him because he knows what it's like to go through it and come out on the other end. But guess who knows the best way to get you out of it? Because he's felt all your infirmities. He felt all your weight, every way that you're going to have. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords knows how to get you out of it. Because whether you think, oh, but he ain't been through it, yes he has. He's been through everything that you've been through. He understands every fear, every anxiety, every lustful thought. Yes, he understands your lustful thoughts. He nailed that all to the cross. If he didn't understand it, a few things wouldn't have been nailed to the cross, but everything was nailed to the cross. Even social media. Even social media. Proverbs 16 and 28 says, a perverse man sows strife and a whisperer separates the best of friends. And you know how they do that? Because they get into the thought of one friend. Yeah? They get into the thought and then start to sow. Sow those thoughts, negative thoughts, into you. Be careful who you speak to. Isaiah 43 and 1 says, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. Kingdom-minded people, you are mine. God actually commands us not to fear or worry. Do you know fear not is written in the Bible over 80 times? Fear not. Yet it's the biggest thing that we do, we fear. Over 80 times. You know why? Because God knows that the enemy uses fear. And guess what? So do we. Eh? We start fear from when our kids are young. We start to threaten them. If you do such as that. And if you're West Indian, they don't even have to open their mouth. When we was growing up, and we, my mum didn't want us to, when we go to people's house, right, she don't want you to ask them for food. In case, that's a thought, isn't it? In case they think you don't get fed. So, with us at that time, there were six of us, and we'd go to people's houses, and we had to sit down quiet in their house. And then people are hospitable, aren't they? They say, you want some cake, darling? Straight away, we look at my mum. And then my mum, does that mean, oh, no, thank you. Sorry. And then we're all there, oh, no, thank you. No, thank you, no, thank you. No. Six of us, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you. We well want the cake. Then they say, do you want to drink, loves? And then we all, six of us at the same time, look at my mum. She don't want them to see what she's doing. And then we all go, yes, please, yes, please, yes, please, yes, please. They must have thought we was like little robots and that, because that's what used to happen. But guess what? Fear. It was a healthy way of fear, because it taught us how to be. But that's what she used to do. And that, and we knew it. We knew that that look meant, and all it was in them days, they don't want to be embarrassed, like they don't feed you. But they might have fed you 2-3 hours ago. You're hungry, isn't it? Right? But that was their way of discipline, right? I never forget that. Yeah. Fear. Fear is tormenting, and it doesn't come from a loving father. And I know when I'm saying that, our parents didn't mean it in that way. So that's why I'm laughing. I know, especially you guys that's in the 50s club, right? You know they didn't mean it that way. It put us in good stead, yeah? To fear our parents put us in good stead. We mannerly today because of it, yeah? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and 7 that God has not given us a spirit of fear. He doesn't want us to think fearful. Fearful thoughts will take you into another realm. And then fear can get you into phobic thinkers. And when you have a phobia, do you know it's an irrational thought? Huh? If you have a phobia about something, it feels real, but God didn't give you a spirit of fear. But it feels real, but it's your thoughts that's betraying you, because you're thinking that that very thing can harm you in some way. And sometimes it's even a little object, because if you think a little spider could harm you in any way, so a little spider come creep up in here. Irrational fear. I could just go and squish the little thing, right? Squash it, right? That little thing, you could just squash it with your finger, squash it with a tissue, yeah? And it's gone. So it's an irrational fear, and it's in your thoughts. And God says he's given you dominion. So your kingdom-mindedness is, I have got dominion over that. Don't get me wrong, I don't like wasps, I don't like rats, and I don't like snakes, right? And I'm up here, and I'm going to confess it, right? I don't like them. Not sure if I'm fearful of them, but maybe I am, yeah? But I'm not fearful enough to kill them. That's another story. We'll edit that, yeah? So God said he hasn't given us a spirit of fear, one of power and love. You won't fear something if you love, yeah? Perfect love casts out fear. Yeah? One of the first and foremost door openers to demonic entity is fear. Yeah? Once you fear, you will open all kind of doors. It will open everything for you. Number three, real quick, anxiety is the next one. Job, he continues to say, therefore my anxious thoughts make me answer because of the turmoil within me. My anxious thoughts makes me answer. Sometimes your anxious thoughts will make you say the wrong thing because of the turmoil in me. Have you ever had anxious thoughts? Have you ever had anxious thoughts and they make you say something wrong? Many a time for me. Yeah? You can damage people by your anxious thoughts because you would say something to them that you didn't mean to say, but you said it anyway, and the damage has already been done because it's already gone out in the atmosphere. But all of that is because of your anxious thoughts. And Job said it, my anxious thoughts made me answer. Sometimes you're going to shut up a little bit and just think about what you're going to say. And you hear that? Think about what you're going to say. Let those thoughts be exchanged for some other thought. Don't let that thought take root and start to bear fruit. Eh? Don't let those negative thoughts start to take root. Don't make negative thoughts about your family. Let me tell you something today. You didn't choose your family. God chose them. So you have every right to forgive them and have different thoughts about them. Because God don't make no mistake. So if you think, oh, I don't like my brother, I don't like my sister, they're the wrong ones. They are not the wrong ones. They are in your life to change something in you. They're in your life to let you see your thought pattern is wrong towards them because you're supposed to love them. Perfect love casts out fear. If you can't get past it, you don't love that family member. And somebody needed to hear that. Anxiety is an inner turmoil. It really does, really causes your thoughts to become irrational. You think, and in fact, it even borders on your thoughts being paranoia. Yeah? It can get to the thought of paranoia, where you're paranoid, where you're already thinking somebody's going to do something that they're actually not going to do. Yeah? But you've already conjured it up in your mind, and it's become your reality. Right? And there's nothing, not even God, can penetrate your reality because it's what you think. And even though God is trying to change your mind, he can't change your mind because you've already given birth to it. You've already sown the seed in your mind and it's already become your reality. When something that's not real becomes your reality, you are paranoid. It's not real, but it's your reality. It makes you paranoid. Yeah? We need to hear these things because the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. Jesus said, I come to give you life and life abundantly. And therefore, I'm going to expose some truths. I'm going to expose the way you live. I'm going to expose the way you think. I'm going to expose a lot of things about you because I want you to be free. I want you to be free in your mind. The Bible says it's for freedom that Christ has set you free. So when he sets you free in your thoughts, you've got to maintain it. The Spirit of the living God is there to help you to maintain it. Yeah? You don't have to do it on your own. And sometimes we think, yeah, but I've always thought like this. And then there's no one to kind of help me thinking like that. We know about that story where Jesus went to that man and he says, been there 36 years or however long. And it was his thoughts that didn't make him go into the water when they were stirring it up. There's nobody here to help me. Yeah? So he had a limited thought. And his limited thought meant that I can't do this on my own. I need somebody else to help me. He was relying on other people because his thought pattern couldn't change his situation. So therefore, he was stuck there for 30-odd years, stuck there because of his thinking. And some of us are crippled because of our thinking. Yeah? He was crippled. He might have been crippled in his leg because the Bible tells us he couldn't walk. He was crippled in his leg. But Jesus was trying to show him, you're crippled in your mind. It is your thought pattern that is crippled. That's what I want to come and deal with. And many of us, that's where he wants to come. He wants to come and deal with the cripple that's in our minds. Sometimes people can't see it. When somebody is physically crippled, you can see it. But when their emotion is crippled, you can't see it. And then the enemy will come in like the nurse and nurse it for you. And sometimes we think by nursing those thoughts, and because they've become our reality, we think we feel better. So when we go to somebody and we start to cuss them out, we feel a little bit better. But you know, you actually don't. It's like having heroin. You feel better for a little bit. And then the same way as it brought you up is the same way it will bring you down. Yeah? Your thoughts will betray you. Brothers and sisters, your thoughts will betray you. Right? Isaiah 55 and 8 says, God reminds us that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. I want you to think like me because I think higher than you. I want you to seek after my thoughts because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Your thoughts will never reach my thoughts because when you get to my thoughts, I've gone a little bit higher. So you still need to come up a bit higher. Right? The Bible tells us that God moves us from glory to glory, from level to level. Right? He keeps moving us there. He wants us to come up higher and higher and higher. Kingdom thinking is Isaiah 55 and 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Forsake it and let him return to the Lord. So now it's told you, I need you to do this, and this is what I want you to do. Every time God gives you one thing, he'll tell you what to replace it with. If you're going to get rid of something, you've got to replace it with something else. And God wants you today, to get rid of some things and replace it with something else. The Bible tells us that when a spirit goes out of man, it goes into arid places. And then it comes back and it sees that you ain't replaced it with anything. And it come back with seven more wicked than itself and occupies your house. But the kingdom of God doesn't work like that. He says, when I take that out, when I open that door, I'm going to close that one. When I open that situation, I'm going to lock down that one. God has always got an answer for us. He will meet you where you're at. He will close what he has to close. But guess what he won't do? He won't override your will. So your will needs to be connected with his will on earth as it is in heaven. Let the mind of Christ be in you. Jesus says, I do what I see the Father do. I speak what I hear the Father speak. That is what you call kingdom mindedness. Stand to your feet all over this place. Proverbs 16 and 3 says, commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. In everything that you do, commit it to God and allow him to establish your thoughts for that situation. If you want promotion in your workplace, commit your way to the Lord. Commit it and let him tell you how to think about that situation. If he doesn't want it for you, he'll commit your thoughts. He will tell you, that's not what I want for you. I've got something else to you. Yeah? You can't do it on your own. Pride is something that we can't afford to stand in our way. And it's a big thing for us. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Today, God doesn't want you. He doesn't want pride to stand in your thoughts. So if you think this message doesn't apply to you today, I'm asking you today, cast down that imagination. Because each one of us in this room, I believe, including myself, has got some thoughts that we've got to put in subjection. We need to be kingdom-minded, Church of God. And God wants us today to be honest and be transparent. You will never be free if you don't put it on the altar and have it burned up. Don't leave this place today thinking that you have a right to think a negative thought. Do not justify it in this place today. Whether somebody done you good, bad, or indifferent, you have no right to hold on to it. God wants you to be free. He wants you to know his purpose and his plan. He wants you to walk with a kingdom mindset. He wants you to affect a world out there, but he wants to work on you first. Each and every one of you who he has given gifts to, he wants you to work with him. We learned this week to co-labor with him. You can't co-labor with him if you think differently from him. The Bible talks about being unequally yoked. You can be unequally yoked with God if your mind is completely different from his. Let's get our minds this afternoon focused on God. Every hand lifted in this place. We're going to do an altar call exactly where you are. But I'm not going to do it for you, because you've got to do it for yourself, because you've got to want it. You've got to want that change. every single person in this place, you've got something. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Lay it down so that you come out free. I don't care how small it is or how big it is. Put it at the altar today. If you want to come to the front, come to the front. If you want to extend your hand to the front, come to the front. And sometimes I believe it's a bold statement when you come out of your seats. That means you're serious with God. When you step out of your seat and say, I'm serious and I don't care who sees me today. I know I've got some issues. I know I've got to lay it down. I know I've got some stinking thinking that I need to put on the altar today. I know that I need God today to lay it down. I need him to help me to get out of that stinking thinking, that thought pattern that lived with me too long. I don't want it no more, God. I don't need it no more. It hasn't helped me then, and it isn't helping me now. I need to get rid of it, oh God. Spirit of the living God, move all over this room and convict the hearts of your people, oh God. Remind them in the areas of their lives where there is stinking thinking, where their thinking doesn't line up with you, oh God. Convict the hearts, Father God. Convict it with love. Convict it with mercy. Convict it with grace. Find, Father God, even those hidden places, what we're reserving for another day. Let it come out today, oh God. Let us not say, we will do that next week. We will do that tomorrow. We will do that when that situation changes. Today, Lord, we've chosen to put it on the altar today, my God. We're not greater than you, oh God. We're not greater than you. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Draw us up, Father God, to have your thoughts. Draw us nearer, oh God, so that we can think like you think, oh God. Father, we want to think like you think. Begin to open your mouth. Begin to open your mouth. If it's too private, say it silently. But make sure it is said. So when you speak things out, that it becomes active.
Some people.